Right. So your name is Josh. I happened to meet you yesterday at the Occupy movement, and over dinner I heard you say the police have charged you with assaulting the police. That's a very serious crime, you know. Yeah. Would you like to tell us what you were doing?
Assault PC is a very serious crime, and it's one that they drop on people at random times in protests. What I was doing was I had been at the Guildhall earlier on, involved in a smaller protest that was a lot more peaceful, and the one after was peaceful as well. But I left, I called one of my friends to find out what was happening. Turns out there was a kettle. So I went back to check on the kettle, and outside of the kettle, a police officer asked me to enter the pen, at which point I told her, is that a request or an order? She said, it's a request, please enter the pen. And she didn't explain why. And I have no reason to enter the pen unless I'm told of the circumstances. She told me again to enter the pen. I said, pens are for animals, a specific kind of animal. That's a pig. So why don't you enter the pen? At which point she got a little bit frustrated. I walked away. She went to grab my arm to arrest me for not entering the pen. I slipped my arm away, and then another guy went to grab me. I slipped my arm away, and then she dropped me on the floor. When she dropped me on the floor, two other police officers came to restrain me. I was struggling because I was being arrested for no reason. At which point, people in the pen started to go crazy. They started to jump over to come and de-arrest me. Then several officers came to arrest me. They flipped me over, slammed my face into the ground, started putting me in pressure points, and then strapping my arms around, sitting on my legs. And then I was told that somewhere in between all of this, I had punched her, kicked her twice, pushed her, and spat on her. And this is all fictitious, but it's the nature of the game when you play with the police. So they charged me for assault PC. The trial's on the 6th of January, and we'll have to see how it goes from here on out.
You seem a pretty civilized guy. You don't look too violent to me, but you never can tell. You could be secretly very violent and punching police officers.
I'm prepared, I'm equipped, but I'm peaceful. I'm peaceful until the instance where, you know,
so listen, necessity. What's your connection with the Occupy movement, with the protest movement?
My connection with the Occupy movement. Right, so I was politicized quite recently, actually, like the beginning of the year, and I started getting involved with rallies and protests, and then I heard about what happened in Wall Street, September 17th, and then I was looking around here like, God, we've got to have an Occupy going in London, surely. And then I encountered a few people who had started a Facebook group. I started going on there chatting, and then they said to me, okay, cool, do you want to help us organize this? So I got involved with that, started going to the meetings, started getting really heavily involved with it, meetings continually, started to get involved in the logistics. Bam, October 15th, we got everything going. And then from there, I've started, I can explain a bit more about what I've been doing in the camp since then if you want.
No, that's cool. One thing I can't understand is the City of London have given you permission to, like, squat that area, and you've squatted a banking building. It doesn't add up. Something is askew here. What's their agenda? Why are they helping you occupy? Why are they allowing it?
City of London?
Yeah.
They're not helping us in any way, shape, or form.
They're allowing you to set up all those tents and be there in Finsbury Square.
Finsbury Square belongs to Islington Council. It's outside the City of London parameters. The Islington Council, in the offset, were reasonable. But they've started to put allegations of trespass, etc., etc. But it seems like they don't have the funds, because it would be the council that would have to pay for an eviction. They don't have the funds to go to war with us or to begin a long process of eviction. So they're just holding their ground as of now.
My personal take on this whole Occupy movement internationally has been that it was to steal the headlines from the genocide we've been performing on Libya. I don't know how. What do you think about that possibility?
Libya, I have a lot of attachment to the story of Libya. I've written profusely about it, and I've followed it and rallied about it, and was at the first rallies about it when nobody was even talking about it. Before anybody even knew about the no-fly zone, I was heavily involved in the Libyan situation. And I can absolutely guarantee, 100% without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, that this movement is not a means to distract from what's happening in Libya.
That it does or it doesn't?
It doesn't. It's not a tool that's being used to distract from Libya. And if they want to distract from Libya, this wouldn't be the tool. They have many tools to distract from war, and they use them all the time. They use the media. They put Libya in and out as and when it pleases. Right now, they're still killing in Sirte, they're still making arrests, and they're still going to war, and they're still having to deal with Belhaj in Tripoli and the upcoming of the Al-Qaeda, but they don't report that. It's up to them if they don't want to put it in the eye of the public. But this movement is actually, I mean, on our initial statement, we said we are against war, and we are against, you know, we are seriously against what's happening in Libya and all foreign wars that are still old forms of imperialism trying to, you know, gain control of assets that they don't have a right to have a control of. So it's in no way, shape or form a tool of the elites to numb people to what's happening abroad.
And what are the demands of the Occupy movement?
I mean, this is an interesting question. We don't operate on the basis of here we are, here's our demands, here's our aims, this is how we're going to do it. We operate on the basis of inclusion, of a new way in which to run a society, a new means of assessing the values of society. We don't come with demands, you know. Just because the media or the politicians demands, we don't give in. And we work together to try and find out what are our concerns. And that's how we roll.
You know, there was a fellow yesterday, he wanted to talk about the Jamaria, the Gaddafi's Green Book.
Yeah.
Do you see that could be something that society should take on board or could take on board?
It's an interesting model. It seemed like it could be a good model with a benevolent leadership behind it. I have no doubt in my mind that when he did come in through the military coup, he had very bright ideas and he was a very, you know, brilliant man who had some good plans for Libya. But along the way, paranoia, whatever, fear, encapsulated him, and what could have been a brilliant social structure became something else. I personally don't think we need to look to the past to figure out the future. We have the present. We have loads of brilliant minds. We have the tools in the past, but we don't have to replicate it. We can look at even more ways of involvement. You know,
okay.
Even more power to the community. Because it was still way too centralized.
I'm a little upset that you felt that his society became a bit corrupt and went wayward. But anyway, we can disagree on things.
I mean, it's a fact.
Well, it's nothing compared to here, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. No, of course I didn't say that. I absolutely didn't say that. What I'm saying is he had a brilliant model, of course. He used to give people, you know, a massive dowry when they had their wedding. He'd give them interest-free rates. He'd give them free cars. He'd provide electricity, water, you know, in the desert land. And he had a brilliant plan. He had the Rascon project. He was way on his way. But then when they took Saddam, he changed a lot.
So just tell me something. You seem like a young guy. You're certainly articulate. Do you want to reveal anything about yourself, your background? Did you study political science? Was your father a big radical rebellion?
No. To be honest, my parents are quite conservative. I've read a lot, and my empathic ability is quite strong. I can connect to a struggle just by seeing it. Some people connect to a struggle by doing it. So I read a lot, I watch a lot. And fortunately, my father is quite outside of the Babylonian mind frame, should we say. You know, he's really outside of the confines of society. So I've read a lot of spiritual texts that helped me open my mind. And then I got on the political tip and I started reading loads, watching loads. And then I started going to rallies, demonstrations, hanging out with old school activists, and I really started to pick up on that. And I was studying, before all this, I was studying at Loughborough. I dropped out because I couldn't see myself going forward in that place. But now, right now, I'm studying politics, philosophy and history at Birkbeck, part-time, whilst I occupy.
So, you know, Tahrir Square seems to me to be the inspiration. I'm talking about back in January.
Yeah.
That's inspired all the Occupy movements. It's amazing how it's spread to America and Britain and Southern Europe. What do you think is going to happen there now? I mean, have you been following it?
Yeah, I have been following it, yeah. What I say is, just briefly, that Tahrir Square has been a massive source of inspiration for the Occupy movement. But, you know, it started a long time ago, and some people like to say that anti-capitalist, you know, trying to change the system, trying to remove the dictatorship's movement started with the Zapatistas, you know, and it moved through the Seattle protests, and it's been building in the minds and the hearts of the people through Genoa, you know, through the anti-war movement in Britain, through the student demonstrations, then moving to Tahrir, then Tunisia, then the Arab Spring, then back to the Spanish movement, then picking up in Wall Street, and now it's coming here. And it's a series, an ongoing series of struggles. So I wouldn't say Tahrir Square is the forefront of that, or even the Zapatistas, but it would probably go further back to there. But Tahrir Square now, as the Guardian so rightfully put it, it's the anti-junta protesters. They're coming back from to a military dictatorship. It's the second Egyptian revolution in the space of a year. And I have no doubt in my mind that they won't stop until they overthrow the military dictatorship. But we from Occupy have solid contacts there, and the Egyptian movement is constantly sending letters of support to us, and we're sending letters of support to them, building solid connections. But what they've said to us, and it's quite explicit and it's quite clear, and what I say to everybody here is, we don't do this for me or even for my family. We do this for everyone across the globe, you know, to improve the livelihoods of everyone. So what they say to us in Egypt is, we can't have a full revolution here until you shake your foundations over there. Because who props up the military dictatorship? Who gives them the arms?
Yeah, we do.
So we need to change what's happening here in order for them to really change what's happening there. Or they're just going to have revolution after revolution after revolution. Now, they've been having revolutions since the 20s, man.
I've got, I'll just add 2 cents. I mean, there's Imran Hussein and a few people saying that, you know, the invasion of Libya was actually to divide Egypt up between Israel so Israel can retake the Sinai. And I'm starting to buy into that. But that's another video. I want you finally to ask you one question. Do you have a website? Do you want to say your name? Anything for the viewers to know you slightly?
Okay, yeah. I don't have a website. I don't have a name. I'm operating outside of the internet and have been for quite a while now. I'm not disregarding the internet. It's fantastic. But, you know, my mouth, my hands, and my heart, my mind, I just use that. If you want to find me, I'm at the Occupy Movement. I was in process and finance. I'm still working finance a bit, but right now I'm more in the grassroots stuff. I'm into the community work, and I'm doing outreach and direct action. So you can find me there. I'm Josh. Most people, if you ask them, will point you towards me. I'm at St. Paul's now. I'm moving to UBS, and that's it, really.
Okay, listen, thanks a million. You've been really a star.
Nah, no problem.
Thank you.